Now we come finally to the last part of our preparation, which is the gospel. I'll bet you can guess what the gospel will be about, right? It'll be Luke 1:57 to 66. You don't have to know the numbers, of course. It's going to be all about the birth and naming of John the Baptist, to see the hand of God on this man. Now, you have to penetrate here to what's going on. I mean, he's born, and it was a successful birth, even though she's old. And so they're all thrilled to death. You see? They're so happy for her. Why? New life. They may not know about the prophecies, the directives given by the angel, but they know that Elizabeth, who always wanted a child and never had one, now has a son. And they're thrilled to death. So they come together. It's like the wedding at Cana, you know. It's a beautiful human thing that's going on. And they're going to make him an Israelite. They're going to circumcise him. And that's the sign of the covenant. And that makes John an Israelite. And he gets his name. The same with Jesus. Jesus becomes an Israelite at his circumcision and receives his name from his... This is the Son of God. Receives his name from his parents. But we're back to John here. So this John, you see, and the tradition is that it all happened around Ein Kerem, which is northeast of Jerusalem. It's a nice walk. I used to walk it a lot. It's, I don't know, 4 miles, 5 miles. It's not a big walk. You go over, then you go down the hill into the valley, and down there, nestled in the valley, is this Ein Kerem. It means the fountain of the garden. Ein Kerem. Ein Kerem. And there is the traditional place of the home of Elizabeth and Zachary. So all the people gathered around. You know, in our world where they're debating about how many babies should be aborted, it's hard for us to realize how, with a faith vision, every birth is an occasion of such great joy. There's another human being on the globe. There's another human being called to enjoy God forever, to grow up, to love his parents and his brothers and sisters, probably to marry and start his own family, all of these beautiful human privileges. This person now is entering into this world. Now, Zechariah knows from Gabriel that this man has this young boy, this child right now, 8 days old right now, has a very special vocation. And he breaks out in prophecy at the end of this. Remember, he can't talk. And as the text goes on, they motion to him, so it's like as though he can't hear either. Finally, he's going to obey the word of God. Gets his chance. How am I going to know this? You know, I'm an old man. My wife's an old woman. You're doubting God, my friend. And so you're going to be dumb until he's born. So he's dumb. So the text goes, when the time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son, Yenisen-Hion. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy to her. Child is a great mercy. And this child, in her old age, all her life wanting a child, now in her old age she has a child. She is so happy. She's forgot already what it cost her to bring this child into the world. That was 8 days ago. She's forgot all about that. Love. That's why when St. Thomas does his treatise on caritas, on love, the example he nearly always uses is the love of a mother for a child. That's the best example you get of the way God loves. And so that's... she's excited, of course, you see. So when they came on the 8th day to circumcise the child, they were going to call him Zechariah after his father. That's the law of the covenant. On the eighth day, the child is circumcised. I remember a Jewish woman was with me at a baptism, and she said, "You just dunked them in this child in water. We cut it right into their flesh." And I thought, that's quite true, you know. But it's meant to be cut into our flesh, every bit of our flesh. Let the Holy Spirit take over and kill all the drives in us that keep us from Christ and keep us from preaching the gospel. And I said that to her. She said, I got it, but I like the other way better, you know. This guy can never forget he's a Jew. And though they tried sometimes by operation and so forth. So our baptism should be so evident that we can never forget we're Christians. And so they came, they were going to call him Zechariah after his father, Zechariah ben Zechariah. But his mother said, no, he will be called Yochanan. He'll be called John. But they answered her, there's no one among your relatives who has this name. So they made signs. Now this is puzzling. Up to now we thought he was only dumb. Now we find out he must be deaf as well. You see? They made signs, asking his father what he wished him to be called. He asked for a tablet and wrote, John is his name. And all were amazed. Finally, he completes his obedience, and you will call his name John. So he does. And because of that reason, the very next line says, you see, immediately his mouth was open, his tongue was free, and he spoke, blessing God. This guy's had a conversion during these 9 months, hasn't he? Worth it for 9 months, isn't it? Especially, you know, because you're quiet, you think a lot. Then fear came upon all their neighbors, and all these matters were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. The hill country down where he lives, and on all the hills around, you see. There's a convent down there at Ein Kerem. I used to visit, that's why I walked there a lot. There's a convent of Contemplative Sisters of Sion. And I used to go there and make a day of recollection and pray. I also preached a retreat to them and used to give them talks and stuff. They're dedicated to the dialogue with Jews, so they ran a breakfast, bed and breakfast place, a conference place. I wouldn't know exactly how to describe it. But there at Ein Kerem, a couple of hundred, maybe a quarter, less than a quarter of a mile away from the traditional home of Elizabeth and Zechariah. So anyway, you see, and all who heard these things took them to heart. What then will this child be? Well, surely the hand of the Lord is upon him. He was born of an elderly woman beyond the age of conceiving. She conceived successfully and happy, delighted, everything's fine. His father was struck dumb for some reason or other. The minute he said his name was John, he could speak. There's something special about this boy. And we're just going to have to watch and see what it is. And as you know, at a certain point, he went out into the desert to get ready for his vocation. You go out to the desert to get in a fight with Satan. That's why the early monks went out to the desert. Anthony lived in an old fort in the desert. I forgot now, was it 20 or 30 years? Antonios, the father of monastic life. Then Luke puts here the song of Zechariah. And I'm going to read part of it. It's not included in our text for the gospel. It comes right here, though, because we're concentrating on John the Baptist and the beginning of his life and his vocation. But it is worth looking at a few lines of this text. See? Then, Zechariah, you see, his mouth was open, and immediately his tongue was loosed, and he spoke, praising God, and all of that. And then finally, you see, the text. Blessed be the Adonai, the God of Israel, because he has visited and brought redemption to his people. He knows, because of what Gabriel told, this boy has got something to do with the Messiah. It means we're close to our redemption. It means our Messiah is coming. After how many years has the Messiah been promised? Finally, he's coming, you see? And he's going to be in the house of David, as was promised. You see? Even as he promised through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies, from the hand of all who hate us. The Romans will leave. We'll be at peace. We'll be free to worship God, free to bring up our children without fear of being conscripted into the Roman army. Free. We'll have our life again. That's as far as he goes, but it's on the way, you see. Show mercy to our fathers and be mindful of his holy covenant. He promised. Now he's coming through. He would be, because he is tzaddik, our God. He is righteous. He honors all his promises. Okay? Of the oath he swore to Abraham, our father, and to grant us that, rescued from the hands of enemies, without fear we might worship him in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Can you imagine this people surrounded by all these pagans, you know, whose lives were in very bad shape? The goal of Israel is to live in a free land where we can worship God, where we can live a righteous life according to God's directives and praise him. That's to get everybody else out of the way so we can do that. You see? And then starts his own little prophecy, you see? And you, child, you will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways. He understands now the role of his son. To give his people knowledge of salvation. This is such a beautiful line. How do we come to know salvation? Remember the rest of that line? Through forgiveness of their sins. You see? Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the daybreak from on high will visit us, to shine on those who sit in darkness and death's shadow, to guide our feet into the path of peace. So he's praising God, and he's prophesying. Now that his tongue, he's had 9 months to think over when I blew it back with that angel. And now he's been thinking about it for 9 months, what that angel said to him. Now this child is born. Beautiful, healthy little boy. That's the word of God. That's the work of God. He should be called John. He calls him John. He has obeyed God. His tongue is loosed. And he prophesies. He sings. Now, these songs were treasured by the early Christians, mostly the Anawim, the poor Christians. They treasured these songs. Mary's song, Zechariah's song, Simeon's song. And you know, my friends, every day we sing these three songs. In the morning, at morning prayer, we sing Zechariah's song. At evening prayer, we sing Mary's song. And at night prayer, we sing Simeon's song. Every day, honoring and praising God for the gift of Jesus, who is the living, eternal Son of God. What a surprise! Not just a great prophet, not just a great legislator, but God himself, Emmanuel, among us. Imanu, with us, El, God. That's why Zechariah is giving out with his beautiful prophetic elocution song. Amen.